The following is a class on the Bhagavad Gita as it is. Chapter number 7, text number 23. Given by His Grace, Sriman Sankarshan Dasat Hikari. Recorded on June 19th, 2013, in Taman Sentosa, Malaysia.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Antavattu palam tesham. Tanbhavati alpa medasam. Devan deva yajo yanti.
Devan devo yajo yanti.
Madbhakta yanti mamapi.
Madbhakta yanti mamapi.
Antavattu palantesham.
Antavattu palantesham.
Tanbhavati alpa medasam.
Tanbhavati alpa medasam.
Devan deva yajo yanti.
Devan deva yajo yanti.
Madbhakta yanti mamapi.
Madbhakta yanti mamapi.
Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Men of small intelligence worship the demigods, and their fruits are limited and temporary. Those who worship the demigods go to the planets of the demigods, but my devotees ultimately reach my supreme planet. Purport. Some commentators on the Bhagavad Gita say that one who worships a demigod can reach the Supreme Lord. But here it is clearly stated that the worshippers of demigods go to the different planetary systems where various demigods are situated, just as a worshipper of the sun achieves the sun, or a worshipper of the demigod of the moon achieves the moon. Similarly, if anyone wants to worship a demigod like Indra, he can attain that particular god's planet. It is not that everyone, regardless of whatever demigod is worshipped, will reach the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That is denied here. For it is clearly stated that the worshippers of demigods go to different planets in the material world, but that the devotee of the Supreme Lord goes directly to the Supreme Planet of the Personality of Godhead. Here the point may be raised that if the demigods are different parts of the body of the Supreme Lord, then the same end should be achieved by worshipping them. However, worshippers of the demigods are less intelligent because they don't know to what part of the body food must be supplied. Some of them are so foolish that they claim that there are many parts and many ways to supply food. This isn't very sanguine. Can anyone supply food to the body through the ears or through the eyes? They do not know that these demigods are different parts of the universal body of the Supreme Lord, and in their ignorance they believe that each and every demigod is a separate god and a competitor of the Supreme Lord. Not only are demigods part of the Supreme Lord, but ordinary living entities are also. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, it is stated that the Brahmanas are the head of the Supreme Lord, the Kshatriyas are His arms, the Vaishyas are His waist, and the Shudras are His legs, and all serve different functions. Regardless of the situation, if one knows that both the demigods and himself are part and parcel of the Supreme Lord, his knowledge is perfect. But if he does not understand this, he achieves different planets where the demigods reside. This is not the same destination the devotee reaches. The results achieved by the demigods' benedictions are perishable because within this material world, and the planets, the demigods and their worshippers are all perishable. Therefore, it is clearly stated in this verse that all results achieved by worshipping demigods are perishable, and therefore such worship is performed by the less intelligent living entity. Because the pure devotee engaged in Krishna consciousness in devotional service of the Supreme Lord achieves eternal blissful existence that is full of knowledge, his achievements and those of the common worshipper of the demigods are different. The Supreme Lord is unlimited, his favor is unlimited, his mercy is unlimited. Therefore, the mercy of the Supreme Lord upon his pure devotee is unlimited. Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jatapada Kamala Shri Gudund Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sakana Raganatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadaitam Sabadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Panam Sahagana Ladita Shri Vishakam Vitamscha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pristaya Bhutade Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamini Tinamane Namaste Saraswati Devi Gaudavani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pashtajide Shachanine. So this is very common in the Indian community, to think that all the gods are the same. But do you know that's actually atheism? Did you know that's atheism? I'll explain why. It's like, how many Supreme Courts do you have in your country? How many Supreme Courts? Supreme Court. One. Every country has one Supreme Court. Now, lower level courts, there can be many district courts. But when you go to the Supreme Court, there's only one. You see, there cannot be more than one. So there can only, in the same way, there can only be one Supreme Being. You can't have many Supreme Beings. If you say, we have no one Supreme Being, we have many Supreme Beings, that means you have no Supreme Being. Now this is not to disrespect the demigods. They are great devotees. And there are many, many verses in the Brahma Samhita describing the great devotees, the demigods. Yat shakshare satavita sakala grahanam rajasta mastasura murti rasesha teja yashyagya brahmati samvritta kala chakro govinda maripurusham gamaham bhajami. The sun, who is the king of all the planets, full of infinite effulgence, the image of the good soul, is as the eye of this world. I adore the primeval Lord Govinda, in pursuance of whose order the sun performs his journey mounting the wheel of time. So the sun is a great demigod, but he's a devotee of Krishna. He does his service mounting the wheel of time on the chariot, you see. He travels, the sun moves actually, under the order of Krishna. So all the demigods are actually great devotees of Krishna. So we have no disrespect. We have all respect for the demigods. They're great devotees. Very, very exalted devotees. But we don't say they're the supreme. That doesn't please Krishna. It doesn't please them either. Now what happens if you think that, you know, worshipping the demigod is better than worshipping Krishna? Some people want to worship the demigod but not Krishna. That was happening actually even in Vrindavan. The Brijavasis wanted to worship Indra, the king of the Lord of the Rain, you see, because of their agricultural community. But Krishna convinced them, no, you just worship Govardhan Hill. Actually, Govardhan is an incarnation of Krishna. It is Vishnu Tattva. It is God's incarnation. Just like Krishna appears as Balaram, he also appears as Govardhan. So Krishna wanted that Govardhan should be worshipped instead. Indra got a little, he forgot his position. Sometimes the demigods forget their position also. They're great devotees, but they're not completely pure devotees. They have some tinge of desire to lord it over the material world, so sometimes they forget. Brahma also had his forgetfulness. You know that Brahma Vimohana Lila. Brahmaji forgot, you see. Even though he gets his power from Krishna, that's also confirmed in the Brahma Samhita. Basvanya tashma shakaleshu nadeshu teshu. In this way, te te prabhava nichaya vihachascha yena. Brahmaya esha jagadanna vedanna karta govindamadi purusham tamaham bhajami. I adore the Prime Evil Lord Govinda, from whom the separated separated portion, subjective separated portion, Brahma receives his power for the regulation of the mundane world, just as the sun manifests some portion of his own light in all the effulgent gems that bear the names of Suryakanta, etc. So Brahmaji gets his power also from Krishna, but sometimes he forgets. When he saw this little cowherd boy being accepted as the supreme by the Brijabasis, he said, "This is not possible that God could be a little that my Lord could be a little cowherd boy." So he wanted to test what the situation was. He stole the calves and the boys, put them in a cave. And then Krishna, not wanting to disappoint the mother cows and the cowherd women, he manifested himself as all the cows and boys. So no one knew that, no mother cow nor cowherd lady would know that her son had been kidnapped by Brahmanji. So for a whole year they were held in captivity by Brahmanji, while the fake cowherd boys and cowherd and calves who were actually Krishna himself pretending to be the calves and the cowherd boys were going about what appeared to be their normal activities as sons and calves. So then after a year, which is simply a moment of our a moment of Brahmaji's time, a moment later Brahmaji, he was thinking, maybe I have played with fire here. I don't know. Let me check out what's going on. And he came back to Braj and he saw that the boys and calves were still there. He couldn't imagine, what is going on? I stole all the boys and calves. I put them in the cave and they're still here. How is this possible? He was dumbfounded. He was bewildered. What's going on here? I stole them. They're still here. He looked in the cave, they were still there. He couldn't imagine how they could, what's going on. And then, of course, Krishna was having fun. He's in the heart of Brahmanji. He knows what was going on in Brahmanji's mind. So Krishna then transformed all the calves and boys into four-armed Vishnu forms. While Brahmanji was looking at them, dumbfounded, they all transformed into Vishnu. So Brahmanji is really bewildered now, you see. So Krishna revealed the whole thing, and Brahmaji then became very repentant. He bowed down at the feet. He was actually bathing, giving doing pada puja with tears from his eyes. He was crying so much, he was doing pada puja with the tears from his eyes at the lotus feet of the Lord. He felt so bad what he had done. So sometimes the demigods forget, you see. But actually they're all great devotees of the Lord. The demigod. So we have no disrespect for the demigod. But we never make the mistake of thinking they're the Supreme Lord, you see. It's just like in your body. Your belly is the central point for food distribution, you see. The mouth is a channel to the belly, you see. If you think, well, I can put my food anywhere, like Prabhupada gives the example in this purport, I can put the food in my ear, you know, I can put the rice in my ears and I will get some, you won't get any nutrition. You have to put the food in the mouth. So, it's not that the demigods are neglected, they are part of the universal body of the Lord. But when you give your loving service to Krishna, then all the demigods are satisfied. Durga Devi, Ganeshji, Shiva, all the demigods are fully satisfied when you give your loving service directly to Krishna. Just like a tree also. When you water the root of the tree, all the leaves and branches are nourished. You think, why should I water the root? The leaves need to be green, so I'll just water the leaves. The root doesn't need to be green. The leaves need to be green, so I'll just water the leaves. What will happen to the leaves? They'll dry up. Because they get the water via the root. So this is a big mistake in the Indian community, and it causes great division also, you see, in the Indian community. It's like we're seeing in Mauritius. There's many different Hindu groups. Some are worshiping Ganesh, some are worshiping, you know, Durga, Shiva, different sects of Hinduism. And they're all divided, and they can't really do anything. Even though they're the majority population in the country, they're very divided. The Muslims are 20% of the country. But they're fully united. They're building a big mosque bigger than any Hindu temple in the whole country because they're united. They're not divided by this deity, this demigod worship division that has plagued Hinduism for many centuries now, you see. But this is not the original Vedic culture. We need to go back to the center. Who is the Supreme Lord? That is Krishna. The Vishnu Tattva, you see. Krishna, Ram, Nrisimha, Narayan, these are all Vishnu, different forms of Krishna himself, you see. This is the Supreme. Not Ganesh, not Suryadev, not Lord Shiva, not Durga Devi, not Sarasvati. They are subordinate. We have to clearly understand this difference between God and the demigod. It's a very, very important thing. Now for us Westerners who were blessed by Prabhupada in America, this wasn't an issue. We didn't even know anything about it. It was all new to us. The whole thing about, you know, the Indian, this whole new thing, we didn't know anything. So we were taught from the beginning, Krishna is the Supreme Lord. So, okay. We were taught, yeah, in Judeo-Christian tradition, there is one Supreme God. That's how we are raised as Jews and Christians in America. There is one Supreme God. So we said, okay. Then Prabhupada said, yes, the same Supreme God you read about in the Bible, that is, he is called Krishna. You see. So for us, there was never any question of demigod worship. It didn't exist. All we knew was worshiping one Supreme God. That's all. But we didn't know scientifically that one Supreme God. But then Prabhupada taught us that one Supreme God. So it's very, very important that the Hindu community now can come together all over the world. The worldwide Hindu community can come together on this point of Krishna, or Vishnu, or Ram, the Vishnu Tattva category, not demigod. It's very, very important, but it hasn't happened. Even though Prabhupada's books are there, apparently they're not reading the books. They're not getting the books. That's why book distribution is a very important thing amongst the Indian community. You see, throughout the whole worldwide Hindu community, everyone should have Prabhupada's books. And everybody should be educated that Krishna is the Supreme, or Vishnu, or Ram, or Nrisimha, Narayan, Vishnu Tattva category, you see. Not demigods. They have to know the distinction. As long as this confusion is there, that the demigods are God, there's many, many gods, then the Hindu community will remain weak and will lose more and more potency as time goes forward. Actually, this demigod worship is popularized by Mayavadi philosophy. Mayavadi philosophy has popularized demigod worship. Because according to Mayavadi philosophy, God has no name, he has no form, God is just the oneness. But they say that God has manifested, but yet one can meditate on a particular deity as a stepping stone to enter into impersonal Brahman. You can pick Krishna, you can pick Ganesh, Shiva, Durga, whatever. Because ultimately the Supreme has no form, the Supreme has no name, the Supreme is just formlessness, oneness. So this the Mayavadi philosophy, which is actually behind the scene, the pundits embrace Mayavadi philosophy in general in the Hindu community. Those who really go deep into Vedic studies, they go into Mayavadi philosophy. The worship of the different gods is seen for the less intelligent people to help them fix on the Brahman that's manifest in the form of the particular deities. That's the understanding, you see. The idea is that actually ultimately those who are learned in Vedas, they come to the impersonal understanding that the Mayavad conclusion, everything is one, there's no form, there's no personality, there's no name. This is simply some make-believe idea that there's different gods and goddesses to help us fix on the impersonal Brahman. Even Gandhiji said there was no person Krishna who ever actually existed. You see. They take this as mythology. Even your leader who got independence, he considered the father of modern day India, he says Krishna was mythology. There was no person Krishna who ever existed. So you can understand what kind of propaganda we're up against. Gandhi is considered the great hero in the Hindu world, you see, for freeing India from the British. But he didn't actually free India from the Western influence. Prabhupada actually wrote Gandhiji shortly before he was assassinated, saying, "Now you've achieved your goal. Now you must preach Bhagavad Gita." No reply did he get. Gandhi did not reply. Whether he got the letter or not, we do not know. But he wrote him, we have a copy of the letter that Prabhupada wrote Gandhi, advising him, "Now you have achieved your goal, now you should preach Bhagavad Gita." You see, there was no reply, and very short. Prabhupada warned him, "If you go on in this politics, you'll meet with an untimely end." And it happened. It happened. Shortly after that, he was assassinated. One of his own Hindu brothers assassinated him. "Oh, you're giving too many concessions to the Muslims. Therefore, I'm going to kill you." You see. See, Gandhi's idea was based on the body. Therefore, he could not bring Hindu-Muslim unity, because his vision was bodily. He made a distinction, Britisher and Indian. That's bodily distinction. He was just on the bodily platform, Britisher, Indian. Therefore, he could not, the distinction Hindu and Muslim had to remain. He didn't, that's why Prabhupada said, "Now you should teach Bhagavad Gita, aham brahmasmi." But Gandhiji was not able to come to the spiritual platform. He remained in the material platform and lost his life, you see. So it's very important that we can actually come to the proper understanding of what Bhagavad Gita is actually saying and make it a reality in our lives, in our own practice. The demigods are not disrespected. Some people say, "Well, I've been worshiping the demigods for many, many years in our family tradition. What to do? I can't just neglect them." What they do in the system in Jagannath Puri is they have, you know, the Jagannath temple, Krishna is Jagannath, is the temple. And they have demigod temples around the Jagannath temple. They don't offer demigods Bhoga, they give the demigods Jagannath Prasad. The demigods are fed Jagannath Prasad. And that way the demigods are honored as subordinate servants of Jagannath. So if one's family is attached to worshiping a particular demigod, and you put them on a lower level, of course it's not necessary, but if you're attached to doing that, and you worship Krishna as the Supreme, and you then after offering to Krishna, then that prasadam can be given to the demigod. You see. That's the proper understanding. Not that they're the same, on the same level, that you offer the prasadam to them, you offer to Krishna, no. You offer everything that goes to Krishna. Everything goes to Krishna. Yat karoshi yadashnasi yajdahosi dadasi yad. Yat tapas jasti konteya tat kadishma manarpadam. This is the order of Krishna. He says, whatever you do, whatever you eat, whatever you offer, give away, as well as whatever austerities you may perform, do that, O son of Kunti, as an offering unto me. You see? Everything should be offered to Krishna. That's the conclusion of all Vedic wisdom. Everything is offered to Krishna. Everything. Absolutely everything is offered to Krishna. That's the proper understanding. If one follows this very strictly, they become a liberated soul even in their present body. But one wants to hold on to some, well, I was raised in this way, so I have to keep doing, it's my duty, 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 duty. Krishna says, give up all these duties. Just surrender to me. See, follow the pathway of the acharyas, not some, you know, your family tradition is not that important. The important thing is you follow the acharya tradition. So are there any questions? You can pass them forward now. So the question is, Lord Krishna condemns the demigod worship, but why demigod worship is taught in the Puranas? There are 18 Puranas, 18 Mahapuranas, 8 Puranas, and they're for different modes of nature. There's 6 for people in the mode of ignorance, 6 for people in the mode of passion, 6 for the people in the mode of goodness, and out of that, one of them is pure goodness, the Mahapurana, the Bhagavad Purana. So, Bhagavatam. So, for people who aren't ready to surrender to Krishna, okay. You can do if you're not ready to surrender to Krishna, better than just be a complete animal, at least you can follow some Vedic principle. Just like the Shiva Purana says, Shiva is the Supreme. To encourage the devotees to worship Shiva. So why does the Shiva Purana stay there? Well, do you remember when you were studying mathematics as a little child, arithmetic? When the teacher said, okay, students, 1 + 1 = 2, you know, they taught you addition, and then you learned subtraction. You know, 1 - me = 1, and the teacher said, now, dear students, here's a rule. The rule is this. You cannot subtract a number from a number smaller than itself. You ever taught that rule when you were studying arithmetic as a small child? You cannot, you remember that? You can't subtract a number from a number smaller than itself. That's for a beginning level arithmetic. But then what happens? Maybe in the second grade or the third grade, but oh, by the way, we have, that rule was only a temporary rule, but now that we're taught you negative numbers, now you can do that because now you understand negative numbers. So this rule, this idea of accepting Shiva as the Supreme is an elementary principle for people who have not developed, who are not mature enough to understand the position of Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It gives them something to plug into on their level. That's all. So they learn the idea of bowing down to some authority greater than their own false ego, greater than their own personal, you know, economic interest. That's why the demigod worship is recommended in the Puranas for other demigods other than Krishna, for people who are not ready to come to the higher platform. The thing is, until you come to the point of beyond the mode. In other words, the other worships are within the modes of nature. Demigod worship is there in the Vedas, but it keeps you within the modes of material nature, which means you must remain in the cycle of birth and death. There's no question of moksha as long as you're worshiping demigods. You won't get liberated. Now, to actually get liberated, you have to come to the transcendental platform beyond the modes of nature, and that means Vishnu, Krishna or Vishnu, Vishnu Tattva. Krishna, Narayan, Rama, Narsingha, Vamana, any Vishnu Tattva worship will bring you beyond the modes of material nature, and the supreme Vishnu Tattva worship is the origin of all Vishnus, Lord Krishna. After worshipping the demigods for many years, and now we stop and become Krishna conscious, will the demigods attack us? No, the demigods will bless you. You by transferring all of your worship to Krishna, that you will get more mercy and more blessings from that demigod than you ever got in your whole life. Please give some tips to wake up early in the morning. A good alarm clock. Go to bed as early as possible. Okay, here's the next question. By understanding death, does life make more sense? Well, the thing is, one has to understand what life really means. It means beyond this body. The answer is, it depends on what your understanding of death is. If you properly understand death as the transfer of the soul out of this body into another body, then yes. The proper understanding of death does help you to understand what life is. That it's not based on the body, it's based on the Atma. Okay, upon death, the soul transmigrates. Does it linger around the body? Sometimes it does. That's why we cremate. If one is very attached, he will hover after lasting out of the body. He will hover around because he can't give up his attachment to that flesh and blood and bones. And therefore, we cremate the body to help the soul get free from lingering around the body. Does it immediately go to heaven or hell? If it doesn't linger around the body, well, it depends. One can be immediately dragged to hell for one's sinful activities by the Yamadutras also. One goes to Yamaraj's planet, then you have to face the music for all the sinful activities you've done. You have to be punished accordingly to your sins. Those who engage in illicit sexual activities, they are forced to embrace the red-hot form of the opposite sex, red-hot metal form. They have to embrace it and they can't let go of it. Even though they're being burned, excruciating and excruciating pain, they have to keep holding on to that form of the opposite sex. So it's very heavy in the hellish regions. If one is very pious, then he can go to the heavenly planets. But that's not very valuable either, because as soon as you burn up your pious results, then you have to come down again to this plane. So it's not very valuable. Going to Svarga, the heavenly planets, to be rewarded for pious activities is not a very valuable thing. You can even become Brahma. If you're very, very pious, you can be rewarded the position of Brahmaji, the lord of the whole material world. But again, it's not a very important thing, because this whole material world is a place of misery wherein repeated birth and death take place. So those who are actually intelligent, they qualify themselves to go back to Krishna's abode. And that can happen immediately. A Vaikuntha airplane can come and take you immediately back to the spiritual world upon leaving your body. Is it okay for Krishna devotees to pay their respect to Balaji? Balaji is Krishna, is the Supreme Lord, so yes. In fact, Prabhupada even took the devotees for darshan of Balaji in Venkateshwara. Huh? You're talking about Venkateshwara? Huh?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, I thought, yeah. Yeah, Prabhupada took the devotees for darshan. He is Krishna himself. Venkateshwara means the Lord of Vaikuntha. It's a Venkatesh means Vaikunthatesh. It's actually he's the Lord of Vaikuntha. So yes, that's when we delve, we have all respect for Lord Balaji, Venkateshwara. Can a devotee bring their personal deity to the temple or even an Abhishek ceremony with people's sponsorship? This opens up a can of worms here. Because actually, the only deity worship we're really qualified to do is Gornitai worship. So if somebody is not... We don't want to encourage the other worship besides Gornitai worship at home unless you're an initiated devotee and a very fixed up brahmana who can do regular bathing and dressing, a very, very regulated thing every day. Deity worship, Gornitai are very merciful. But as soon as you talk about Jagannath, you talk about Radha Krishna, then you're talking about bathing every morning, having Mangal Arti before sunrise every day. You're talking about bathing every day of the deities. Jagannath bathing, you pour the water in front of them. You don't actually bathe them. With Jagannath, you pour the water in front of them. This is meant to be daily. And the standard of deity worship has come way, way down since Prabhupada left. And the deity worship ministry made a complaint to the GBC, asking the GBC to help solve the problem in our society. We have a very, very low standard of deity worship now in our society. It's hurting us. The best thing is that unless you're initiated, your spiritual master has authorized you, should only think, if you want deities, only think of Gornitai deities, no other deities. Because they don't take any offense. They don't accept any other offense. No offense do they accept. So the first thing is we should know what is the recommended personal deities that are within the guidelines of Srila Prabhupada or worshiping at home. Unless we're very, very regulated, we have reserved Mangal Arti every day, and our spiritual master has authorized us to take other forms of deity worship besides going in time. This is the proper standard. And kirtan, as far as Gornitai goes, kirtan is fully satisfied them just by the kirtan. Now it's very common in ISKCON, people give so many deities, they take them home, they put them on the altar, and they don't worship them according to proper standards. And it's called seva aparad, and it makes havoc in one's spiritual pathway. If one worships the deities properly, then it's a great blessing. But if one doesn't worship them properly, and it hurts one's spiritual advancement. But that's why Gornitai worship is recommended. Prabhupada said we can even sell Gornitai in the airport to the karmis and say, here's some magic dolls. You wave an incense in front of them and they fulfill all your desires. Prabhupada said we could sell Gornitai to the karmis. Is some magic dolls, and they would make spiritual advancement by worship, by putting Gornitai and his magic dolls in their home. You light some incense and wave it in front of them, and they fulfill all your desires. Prabhupada encouraged Gornitai worship, but unless you're a highly qualified brahmana with the blessings of your spiritual master, other types of worship are not recommended. because of the seva aparads that go on, and it makes one havoc in one's spiritual life. So if I don't know what personal deity it is. I don't know if we're talking about Radha Krishna here, going to Thai. I have no idea. Okay. Prasadam is the most divine. Why do some make fun of people who come to the temple just to enjoy prasadam? We can make a little fun of them. It's okay. I mean, but at the same time, we have to encourage them. Why do we make fun of people who only come to take prasadam? No, you don't be too proud. That's all I can say. I mean, you know, I remember Prabhupada was telling us in Miami. He said the temple president named Abhi Rami was sitting right there. Prabhupada said, "You have all come because of prasadam." And Prabhupada looked at the temple president and he said, "You too, Abhi Ram?" "Abhi Ram, yes, Prabhupada." So actually, we've all come because of prasadam. So we shouldn't be so critical of people who are just coming for prasadam. We all came. Prabhupada says we all came because of prasadam. At the same time, though, we have to understand there's a higher standard than just taking prasadam. Okay, next question. Can you kindly... Yeah, those who come, prasadam, if they give some, they should think of giving something in return. Then that loving exchange is beginning, and it's very good. Oh, it's very nice you've come prasadam. It's very nice. Now show your appreciation by giving some dakshina, some contribution. That way their loving exchange begins. Yeah, very good. Okay, kindly explain the importance of taking a Ekadasi fast. Tomorrow is Nirjal Ekadasi. What's the special of this Ekadasi? Mm-hmm. Actually, Prabhupada said every Ekadasi is supposed to be Nirjal. No water, no prasadam, no sleeping either. Stay up all night engaged in Krishna Katha. But he never told us that we had to do that because they understand it's not easy, especially with jobs and, you know, Western civilization. It's very difficult. Even to do one Nirjal Ekadasi once a year, you know, is an austerity. I always do it, but I've been sick and I may have to take some water tomorrow because I'm trying to get over some lung problems. I may have to not do Nirjal tomorrow. But Nirjal is actually very nice. It's a very nice thing because one completely cuts off sense enjoyment. It's nice. It's a very nice austerity to do that. And I know the breakfast, the next sunrise, is the most ecstatic experience of the year. That breakfast. Always, that's the sweetest thing. I love that moment of breaking the fast on the following day. It's so auspicious to take that... that breakfast on the sunrise of the next morning on the Dvadasi. It feels so auspicious to have gone through the austerity and then complete the fast with the breaking it on the Dvadasi sunrise. It's very auspicious, very enlivening to do. Okay. To what extent one may involve in sports or exercise to take help in regards to being in Krishna consciousness? Prabhupada mentions not to be involved in frivolous sports. Yeah, Prabhupada actually said that it's breaking the regulated principle. No gambling is one of the four regulated principles, and it includes frivolous sports. Prabhupada said this ball, that ball. So Prabhupada definitely told us not to play all these different sporting activities. It's a fact. It's a breaking of the regulated principle. But what about exercise? Prabhupada did authorize exercise. He even push-ups, or hatha yoga exercises, or walking. Prabhupada himself took a walk every day, a brisk walk for 1 hour every day for his health. So, the thing is, if you work yourself up to where you're breathing very heavy, it shortens your duration of life, according to Ayurveda. Because you have certainly breath, so many breaths. If you're going from your sport, that means you're shortening your life. Because we have allotted so many breaths. According to Ayurvedic science, you have so many breaths. So if you want to do some exercise, don't do this thing where you're like, panting. Not recommended to be panting. No, actually, exercise is good. I mean, just for practical purposes. Just like I fly in the airplanes and I have to lift my luggage in the overhead compartment. So I've sometimes done some exercises to strengthen my arms just so I can do that without dropping the bag in somebody else's head and getting sued. You know what I mean? So plus, if some devotees really want to work out and become muscular, we don't mind having a few chapas around in case some demons attack the temple. I'd be happy to have some heavy chatriya muscular brahmacharis around if somebody comes to shoot me or something. It's good. We don't mind if we have some devotees who want to work out and be, have a chatriya nature, want to be muscular and very powerful physically. There's no harm. We welcome them. We can use some of those. Bodyguards, We can use some. The guru can use some bodyguards. The temple can use some guards. No harm. Actually, it happened many years ago. I don't know if you all heard the story, but it's a very heavy story. When he first got to that temple in Juhu, that big struggle with Mr. Nair, Mr. Nair died. The people who were in cahoots with him were very angry that we had that temple. And so they sent a mob to attack the temple. They were going to kill the devotees, an angry mob. It was very heavy. It's a very heavy scene. The temple was under physical siege from Gundas, and an angry mob had worked out they were going to kill all the devotees. It was very heavy. There were some fights in that time, and there were some devotees who had very powerful bodies and were able to. Krishna gave them some extra strength. They were able to fight off a whole horde of Gunda type people and win the fight. It was a very heavy time. But some devotees were able to get out and bring the. And went to some politician who brought in the police, finally, and protected the temple. And there was a point where they had the gates barricaded and they were smashing in to break in and kill all the devotees. It was very heavy. So sometimes that happens. So we have no objection if we have some strong kshatriya type devotees who've been working out with weights. We have no objection. There's nothing wrong. Yeah, but don't work out to attract women, okay? Yeah, don't do that. When we preach to non-devotees, can we tell them that Krishna fulfilled their material desires? No, generally not. That's a special thing if you're trying to sell somebody instead of going to Thai deities. Then you can do it. That's not preaching philosophy. You're trying to close a sale. That's a different thing. For selling a book, Prabhupada said, by hook or by crook, get him to take a book. You can tell them, if you take this Bhagavad Gita and all your desires are fulfilled, there's no harm. Because ultimately, the desire of the soul is to go back to Godhead. So for selling a book, you can tell them anything to get them to take a book. Selling Gaurantai deities, as Prabhupada said we could do, you can use different lines like that for selling. They're not for preaching philosophy. No. There's a difference. Nowadays, most people go for immediate results. They worship some gurus, babas, and make them gods, and do all kinds of offerings, and ratha yatras, and pujas. They say they get the results, and their prayers are answered. Then why are they still in the material world? Their affairs are not finished. True of paradise, they're still in the material world. They're not getting out of the cycle of birth and death. How important is the pronunciation of the Sanskrit verses in the Bhagavad Gita? I'm certain I'm doing it wrong. Is this reading the translation superfluous or sufficient? No, you should learn how to pronounce Sanskrit as you can. But I know my Sanskrit is absolutely horrible. I look at the different things, like the two different types of T's, the two different types of D's with a dot under. I can't do these little subtle things. A Pukka Hindi speaker, a Pukka Sanskrit. I can't do it. I've tried. My wife has tried to teach me. It's called Texas Sanskrit. It's not pure Sanskrit. You just try to do the best you can. Actually, Prabhupada tried to teach Jayananda how to properly pronounce some mantras. And Jayananda, the famous inaugurator of Ratha Yatra in ISKCON, he couldn't do it. Prabhupada just gave up. He couldn't teach him how to pronounce it better. So do your best, but try your best. Keep working on it, Try to learn. Try to always refine your Sanskrit, because it's in the spiritual world, that's what they speak. Even in the planets of the demigods, you know why the script is called Devanagari? It means in the city of the demigods. Krishna spoke Sanskrit when he was on this planet. The demigods speak Sanskrit right now in the heavenly planets. Sanskrit is spoken in the spiritual world, so if you become expert in Sanskrit, you're helping to get yourself ready to go back to Godhead. But Sanskrit scholarship will not qualify you at the same time. You have to chant with love, with feeling, you see. Actually, the Sanskrit is so beautiful. You see, Premanjana Charita Bhakti Valochanena Santaksadai Vrahidayeshu Valokayanti Yangshamushundaramashim Yoganasvarupam Govindamadi Purusham Dhammaham Bhajami. It's so beautiful. It's so relishable. Just to chant the Sanskrit, you see. I mean, it's the most beautiful. I mean, it's just amazing the beautiful poetry which is there, you see. Samashtaye palapallava pladang Mahat padang bhunya yasho marare babam budir vatsa parang padam 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 babam yad babam nate sham. Shakespeare can't come close to that in his poetical English the famous William Shakespeare. He can't come anywhere close to the beautiful poetry of Srila Vyasadeva. So do yourself a favor, learn some Sanskrit. It's beautiful. Prabhupada wanted all the children in the Gurukulas to learn Sanskrit, the Sanskrit grammar. They should all be taught Sanskrit grammar. And they are Gurukulas. Are you teaching the children Sanskrit grammar here in your Sunday school? No? Because no one knows to teach them, I guess. But actually, the children, Prabhupada wanted, should know Sanskrit grammar. It's a very important thing, the Sanskrit language. So do the best you can. Krishna says, I preserve what they have and I carry what they lack if they're exclusively devoted to me. How do we know that Krishna has accepted our bhoga offering? If you offer it with love, then you know he accepted it. If he didn't offer it with love, then you know he didn't accept it. It's very simple. Did you offer it with a feeling of love? How can we see the spiritual master and as the demigods? How can we see the spiritual master and the demigods on the same level? What? How can we see the spiritual master? They're not on the same level. Spiritual master is the sum total of all the demigods. That's described by Prabhupada. By worshipping Guru, you're automatically worshipping 33 million demigods in one shot. Just by worshipping. This is by Pada Puja, the spiritual master. You just worship 33 million demigods. The my body is worshipped to which demigods? They choose any demigod as a means of attaining Brahman. Doesn't matter. Whatever one they pick, they don't care. According to their own fancy, they'll pick any particular god to achieve Brahman. How do they do their offerings? Well, you have to go talk to them and see how they do their offerings. Which planet do they go to at the end? They don't go to any planet. They achieve, if they become perfect and they're a Brahman, they go to the impersonal Brahmajyoti for some time, and they fall back again to material existence. Worshippers of demigods, how to go to Krishna Bhakti and how to achieve it. Just chant, it's simple. Chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And give up illicit sex, meeting, intoxication, gambling. What is the difference between worshipping Narayan and Krishna? Actually, there's no difference. And essentially it's the same, because Narayan and Krishna, and Krishna is Narayan. Krishna at home, God at home is called Krishna, and God at the office is called Narayan. It's the same person, engaged in different activities. It's like you make work for some corporation, you see, and you know the boss, you know, Mr. Such and Such, he's the boss, and you have to report to him as the boss. But his next-door neighbor knows that same person, but he relates to him in a different way. It's his next-door neighbor, you see. So it's a different rasa, the same person, but two different rasas. So some people have a relationship with the Supreme Person as Krishna in an intimate, familial, intimate way. The Brijabasis, you see, Goloka, Vrindavan, Vasi, they relate with the Supreme Lord in an intimate way. And some see him as the Almighty Lord, you see. It's like the employee in the factory. It's the same person, but there's different rasa of relating with the same person. Just like Stephen Jobs, you see. His next door neighbor knows him as Steve, and the employees may call him something else, depending on their relationship with him. So in this way, Krishna and Narayan are the same. Narayan is an expanded form from the original form of Krishna. The gopis also saw Narayan in the Vrindavan forest. They were searching for Krishna and they saw Narayan. So they went, "Oh, Namo Narayan, where is Krishna? Please tell me where I can find Krishna." You see? They were not satisfied seeing Narayan. They wanted to see Krishna. But some people are totally satisfied seeing Narayan. They take him as their supreme deity. And they can go to the Vaikuntha realm when they leave their body, if they become pure devotees. Actually, Prabhupada said, by chanting this Hare Krishna mantra, whether you're a worshipper of Narayan or Krishna, by this process that we're doing here in ISKCON, Hare Krishna mantra, the regulated principles, you can go to Goloka or you can go to Vaikuntha and be a devotee of Narayan. Either way, this process will take you there. This is the best way to become, to go back to Narayan or to go back to Krishna. According to your swarup, actually you'll end up being attracted in a particular way, your actual eternal identity. If you surrender to a bona fide spiritual master, follow his instructions, then according to your internal nature, you'll be attracted to a particular form of the Lord. So our time is up, and we thank you all very, very much for welcoming us tonight here at your nice Krishna Conscious Center. Please follow strictly the teachings of Srila Prabhupada. Chant Hare Krishna and be happy. Enjoy Krishna Prasadam. Distribute Krishna Prasadam to everyone that you possibly can, and Prabhupada's books to everybody you possibly can, and the holy names to everybody you possibly can, according to your country. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.